The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien, as always, good afternoon to you. Hope you're well.
I am good, and yourself, albeit absolutely frozen. It is currently 7 degrees here in Wadi Ein and raining. But other than being absolutely frozen, I'm Beseder Gamur.
Beseder Gamur, it doesn't help that in Israel you've got tiles which absolutely radiate that cold into your inner bones. But beautiful pictures of the Golan under snow being published all over the press.
Isn't it gorgeous? And people think that we are just a desert, but you can have your desert experience, your skiing experience, your scuba experience, and of course your being shoved in a line experience.
Absolutely wouldn't miss that for anything. Okay, you are going to tackle a very controversial subject this afternoon, and that is this issue of the eviction of the family from Sheikh Jarrah.
Well, I think it's very important that we talk about this and we put things into perspective, because Sheikh Jarrah is a flashpoint. This is not related to the previous incident or the previous issue regarding Sheikh Jarrah. And Sheikh Jarrah has become extremely, extremely politicized, and was really one of the catalysts that started the flare-up between Israel and Hamas last year. And you only have to look at social media to see everybody jumping on the anti-Israel bandwagon when it comes to Sheikh Jarrah. So let's look at the facts as they stand. So a Palestinian family was evicted and their house demolished in the East Jerusalem suburb of Sheikh Jarrah. But there is very, very specific background to this. The area where they had illegally built their house and business was an area designated by the Jerusalem municipality years ago for the construction of a educational complex, which would include a school. This would be a special needs school. This would be servicing mostly Arab children with special needs, and a kindergarten. And it had taken years of notices by the municipality. This eventually went to the Jerusalem District Court, who said that, you know, they've exhausted all extensions and they have to evict the premises. Now, whether or not you build your premise illegally in East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, Johannesburg, Amsterdam, Cape Town, Melbourne, Stockholm, if you are building in an area that's illegal by the municipality of that city, they have the right to evict you. So this is what has happened. They were evicted. Of course, it drew the regular crowd of NGOs and activists and protesters, as is their right to do. Israel is a democracy. This did not contravene international law, not by any stretches of the imagination. It went off relatively peacefully. Yes, 18 Palestinian and Israeli activists were arrested at the scene. They have subsequently been released, and that concludes that situation. I have seen some ridiculous points made on Twitter, and I just want to stress something very, very important. Please don't believe everything you see in social media. An issue as potentially inflammatory as this one, if there is going to be any contravention of anybody's specific human rights, would be captured by the hordes of press, the hordes of NGOs, the diplomats and the activists on scene. Don't believe just any posting, and I have seen some really, really heinous ones. If there were any incidents that contravened anybody's human rights or civil rights, this would have been captured, and this would be reported by the Israeli media as well as the international media. And Israel, being a democracy, would hold any police or army to the law. So I ask listeners, please, I know that we see things on social media, there are a lot of people who think they are armchair analysts, armchair generals, and of course armchair journalists. Let's deploy critical thinking, especially when it comes to highly, highly sensitive issues like this.
What's really interesting to me, Rolene, is the timing of this. I mean, Bennett has a very weak coalition, and he's dependent on an Islamist party. He's making it very difficult for Mansour Abbas, is he not?
No, I think we have to separate, and you know, everybody goes immediately to the coalition. I think we have to separate issues of legality from issues of politics. This is a legal issue, the same as the previous issue was a legal issue. It was a rent dispute, one that had been taking decades to try and sort out. This is very much a legal issue, and whether or not you build in Modi Inn, in West Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, in East Jerusalem, or Outer Mongolia, you build without a permit on land that is not yours to build, the same course of action will be deployed. You will be evicted. You know, in any other situation where you don't pay your rent or refuse to pay your rent, you would be evicted. You know, that situation being very, 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 very tense, there was a compromise reached. Everybody was happy until Hamas got involved. So we have to look at this from not just the lens, and I hate that saying, you know, see through a lens. We have to look at this from a legal perspective and look at all the complexities that surround it.
And then a really wonderfully positive story coming out of Israel. Herzog in talks to visit Turkey. Last time I saw Erdogan on stage with an Israeli head of state, he was rude, dismissive, and walked off. And I think that was Shimon Peres.
Well, we have seen over the last, I'd say, probably 4 months, a significant warming in ties between Jerusalem and Ankara. There was the alleged espionage with the two people from Modi Inn a couple of months ago, handled very, very, very diplomatically by Israel. A lot of appreciation from Turkey for the way that it has been handled. We know that when Herzog was inaugurated, President Erdogan phoned him. He also phoned him just several weeks ago to offer his condolences on the passing of his mother. He has spoken personally to Prime Minister Bennett. We know that the situation was very, very different with the previous Prime Minister. And now an announcement yesterday by President Erdogan saying that he'll be meeting with Herzog soon. And what we do know coming out of the President's office is that there are talks currently underway to possibly prepare for a trip to Turkey by our President Isaac Herzog, which would be the first by an Israeli president since 2007. And I know that some listeners aren't going to like this, but we have to remember that when Peres went in 2007, we also had a very different government. So very, very positive news.
Hugely.
Indeed.
Yeah, agreed. Not so positive is the CDC issuing a travel warning to Israel over rising COVID numbers. Who would have thought? We thought you were ahead of the curve.
Well, we also have to look at it this. We also ahead in terms of waves. Omicron has hit nearly every country. We are ahead of other countries in terms of where we are with waves. We haven't reached our peak. We will be reaching our peak pretty soon. But I think it also lends itself to Israel saying that, you know, we'll be blocking access from certain countries because their Omicron numbers are very high.
And let's leave the Israel Report today with the last issue on our list, which is Mr. Burla winning the Genesis Prize, $1 million. We've kind of addressed it here, but what's your take?
Well, I think that he's probably a very trendy winner, but he's also a very deserving winner. The Genesis Prize is the Israeli Nobel Prize. It's an annual awarding of $1 million. And wherever you stand on the issue of vaccines, you cannot dispute that they are life-saving. I know I'll probably get some hate mail and some very, very fruity language directed at me. But these vaccines have changed the way that we approach our daily lives in the last 2 years. I remember this time, almost 2 years ago, we were praying for a vaccine. Now the vaccines are here. They're saving lives. And he's a worthy recipient.
Rolene Marks, that takes us exactly to 5:30. Thank you so very much. I look forward to finishing the week with you tomorrow.
Absolutely.